The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... We love the earth. Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator. Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Thursday, April 7th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here for our show. We got so much great stuff for you today. Cypress Hill with some music, comedian Terry Joyce, porn star Brittany Blaze, and a radical rant against the Partnership for a Drug-Free America. I mean, we are chock full of content today. Also, for today, we've got an announcement, of course. Unfortunately, our engineer Ganja John couldn't be with us today. He's feeling a little bit under the weather. You know, it's tough when you're recovering from a transplant operation. You have to take all these anti-rejection drugs, and they really lower your immune system a lot. So, you know, you go off to something like the Cypress Hill or the Denver Cup out there, and you're likely to catch something. So get well, John. We do, of course, have the technology behind John Cam. We can look in on Ganja John from the camera mounted in his false eye. Let's see what we got right now. Oh, okay, he's got his eyes closed. He's not letting us look. Okay, so we can't look into Ganja John. Let's turn to Cannabis Carrie in our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon. How you doing, Carrie?
And wouldn't you know it, my webcam's down. You can't look at me either.
Oh, doggone it. Okay, man. Well, I hope everything's going well in Astoria. What do we have in the headlines today, Carrie?
Well, it's a gorgeous day in Astoria, and today we're going to talk about a large business that might be having some trouble. Also, we're going to go to New Mexico, where marijuana growers are suing the state, and also some Spokane dispensaries have been put on notice. We're going to talk about that as well.
All right. That's coming up later on in our Hemp Headlines right after this first break. We're a Normal Show Live, a part of the Normal Network, and we hope you stay tuned today. We've got plenty of great shows coming up later on. We're going to be running at 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, a replay of the Viper Hour. We're still waiting for Chris Goldstein's Freedom is Green. So there is a schedule change tonight. We'll be replaying the Viper Hour tonight in the 5 o'clock slot. In the 6 o'clock slot, you'll get to hear Cannabis States of America from Fort Walton Beach, Florida. That's the Southern podcast on our lineup. John Doe Radio will be here at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Pacific. And then we've got the Hollywood Hemptress Hour and a new episode. Not exactly new, though. I went back to her archives and picked out a different episode than the one we've been rerunning. So if you've heard that one enough, I sure have, you can catch a different episode of the Hollywood Hemptress Hour tonight at 8 o'clock West Coast time. All that's coming up on the Normal Network tonight. Please stick around and make sure you visit the websites of all of our podcasters on the Normal Network. Give them your support. Let them know you enjoy listening to their shows on the Normal Network. We've got the Hemp Headlines coming up next. We're hanging out with Coleco the intern, and we'll see you in just a bit.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's Today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strupp. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
This is sort of a follow-up story from a story we did last year. The big grow store with the giant opening last fall has now shut down, and there is a large lock on the front gate. The Oakland superstore called We Grow was hailed as the Walmart of weed when it opened. Originally called iGrow, the indoor growing equipment company came out of the closet and started marketing to indoor marijuana growers with plans to become the first national chain store for the marijuana market. The now closed 15,000 square foot warehouse facility was located 2 miles from Oakland, California's International Airport. The opening was celebrated with national press releases, and even the Oakland mayor, who was a city council member at the time but running a successful campaign, came to support the store in front of the national media, who were there to cover the event. Well, a lot can change in 5 months. At that time, the city was the headquarters for the Prop 19 campaign to legalize marijuana for adults in the city, in the state, and the city of Oakland was planning on issuing several industrial-scale cannabis farms within city limits. The estimated tax revenue off of industrial cannabis grows would have been in the millions, but Prop 19 did not pass, and a difference of opinion about industrial grow sites between the city and the city attorney led to warnings sent to council members that they might be on the receiving end of federal prosecution for allowing them permits that were never issued. And then in February, WeGrow shut down their doors, and the business partners who were behind the grand plans are now embroiled in a heated legal debate. The former business partners have filed multiple lawsuits against each other, but even though the large facility is closed to the public, Dar Mann, the 27-year-old owner of WeGrow, says he knows exactly where the WeGrow company is headed. He said that instead of being a retail storefront, the warehouse will now be the company's franchise training and distribution center. He says that with the newly crafted franchise program, WeGrow will be able to give individuals interested in entering the medical marijuana industry an opportunity without having to dispense or cultivate cannabis. He said that one WeGrow store in Sacramento opened last month and that two more stores are opening soon. One of them will be the 20,000 square foot, the largest WeGrow store yet, and will be in Arizona, where medical marijuana was recently made legal. He says that as the 16th and 17th state legalizes medical marijuana, that WeGrow will be there. But his former business partners aren't so sure about the future of the company. Derek Peterson, a former part owner of the company, says that the franchises are opening up with their own money and that the shutting down of a large store was because they were running at a loss. One of the former business partners was a hydroponic manufacturer that used to supply the store and is now suing over unpaid bills. Peterson has even filed several small claims against former WeGrow employees for compensation for credit card and computer theft. According to the East Bay Express, some of the former employees of the short-lived WeGrow Superstore have also filed small claims against the company. But Mann says that those employees are all suing that they now work for Peterson, his former business partner, and says that his claims against Peterson top out at $2 million for fraud and breach of fiduciary duty. The flurry of lawsuits between the two men are far from over. Both claim that there will be more filed against each other in the coming weeks.
Carrie, am I remembering the original story on this, that this wasn't a place where you could buy cannabis or plants? It was just grow equipment and fertilizer and all that, right?
That's right. Even though all of the national press said, you know, the Walmart of weed,
right,
even though there was no actual weed involved.
Right. So they're just basically a supply store, a Home Depot for growers, if you will, or a Lowe's or whatever. And, you know, that was made out to be this big marijuana growing thing that it wasn't. It wasn't the Walmart of weed. And now they're shutting down. What was exactly the threat there that was getting them shut down?
Well, actually, it's all the former partners are now suing
each
other.
It's just them fighting each other.
All of the money is now tied up, and they were no longer to operate the storefront.
So it's not a case of the government or anybody saying, oh, you're selling, you know, weed growing equipment, we got to shut you down. It's just the businessmen involved in this can't get along.
That's right. Taken down from the inside.
Oh my God! All right. Well, thanks for that story, Carrie.
And people who want to grow medical marijuana in New Mexico are now suing because they say the application to distribute medical marijuana are being approved too slowly. New Mexico began accepting applications for distributors in 2009, and since then, 116 nonprofit organizations have filed to dispense medical marijuana. So far, 25 have been given a license. But according to Paul Livingston, a lawyer representing six of the organizations that are now suing the state, that number does not come close to meeting the needs of more than 3,000 patients in the state. He says that patients are being forced to go without or going to the black market to get it from an illegal source. The lawsuit, which also names Governor Susana Martinez and the state health department, says the approvals have been arbitrary, inconsistent, and far too slow. Most of those that have applied for the license to distribute medical marijuana haven't even heard back, and those that have been rejected have been given no explanation as to why they were rejected. Dominic Zerlo, the harm reduction manager with the state's medical marijuana program, acknowledged that the process can be lengthy. He says that since it is uncharted territory, they are focusing on quality and not quantity for the long term. Applicants hoping to get a license to dispense medical marijuana must first form a nonprofit organization with a board, then submit, quote, business and trade secrets and proprietary information. They must also pay a $1,000 application fee. Some applicants that are involved in the lawsuit have been waiting for 2 years, but Zerlo disputes that claim, saying that it isn't like they've been in limbo for 2 years. He says the department has been giving them plenty of feedback. He says it's just not what they want to hear. Well, now it looks like a judge will have to decide if the department has been dragging their feet or not.
Yeah, it always seems weird to me that we want to dictate how many organizations there will be to distribute medical marijuana to patients instead of just allowing the demand from the patients and the dictates of business to figure out how many there will be that is necessary. I mean, if they've approved 25 of these for 3,000 patients, that's one dispensary per every 120 patients. Is that enough? Is that not enough? Well, it's hard to tell unless you let these places operate and we find out what the patients think about it. I sure hope New Mexico continues to get input from the patients and that this dispensary system will work out.
And there are more than 40 medical marijuana dispensaries operated in Spokane, Washington. And on Wednesday, all of those shops were put on notice that they will face federal prosecution if they don't close their doors immediately. The announcement came from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Federal authorities are hoping for a voluntary compliance, but say that they are prepared, quote, for quick and direct action against the operators of the stores. Mike Ormsby, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Washington, said that federal authorities will target the operators of the stores, as well as the owners of the properties where the stores are located. Those stores were, no doubt, reducing their inventory after the announcement. Some federal marijuana crimes carry mandatory minimum sentences of 10 years or more. U.S. Attorney Tom Rice, who is a spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office, said that no timeline has been provided, but that authorities are prepared to take action at any notice. There are dispensaries that operate in Western Washington State as well, but so far no enforcement announcements or actions have been taken. Although many operators or landlords will close their doors and contact their lawyers, there are some dispensary operators who have been so far remaining defiant. Charles Wright, the owner of THC Pharmacy in Spokane, said that he will not shut down his doors. He said that he will fight against the federal government, attacking the people they're supposed to represent. Melissa Lunsford, who owns a clinic where doctors authorize medical marijuana recommendations, said that her landlord received letters referencing her clinic and also a dispensary that is on another property that he owns. She said there is now confusion over whether where her business falls into this announcement, since they don't actually sell marijuana. Washington's medical marijuana law has been on the books longer than most. Voters in 1998 passed the law, and in 2008, legislatures amended the law to allow patients to have up to 15 plants and 24 ounces at a time. The law is silent on commercial dispensaries, but since caretakers are allowed to provide medical marijuana to one person at any one time, dispensary owners in the state have decided that that means they can only help one customer at a time. Mike Ornsby says that the proliferation of marijuana dispensaries that are not allowed under state law suggests to him that drug traffickers are attempting to avoid applications of state laws. He added for emphasis, quote, drug traffickers cannot hide behind the law by simply claiming they are medical marijuana stores, unquote. Many advocates and dispensary operators were already on notice since a Spokane County jury recently convicted Scott Shoup, the owner of one of the first dispensaries in the Spokane area, for three drug felonies. Law officials said they were waiting for the outcome of that trial before moving forward with enforcement actions against other dispensaries. Federal authorities seem to be acting before a new law regulating dispensaries in the state can pass. A regulation bill has already passed the Senate, is expected to pass the House, and Governor Chris Gregoire has said that she will sign the bill into law if it reaches her desk.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's going on here. Get them while we can before they pass some law that protects them. Let's round up as many of these compassionate people that are trying to help out patients and lock them up in a cage, because by God, we can't have storefronts that are getting medicine to sick people. That's really what we're talking about here. These raids, this zeal by the federal government to shut down these dispensaries. And you know, whether or not we're talking about them being in a legal gray area, let's look at the morality of what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who are legally authorized to use medical marijuana, but they're not legally authorized to get it. They're supposed to wait for the weed fairy to drop cannabis out of the sky for them. Is that how this is supposed to work? It's only natural that if you legalize a consumer base, they are going to want legal access to the supply. And to criminalize the suppliers, to throw these dispensary operators in a jail cell, to shut them down, just means taking the patients and putting them back out on the underground, unregulated market, where they're subject to possibly poor quality medicine, ripoffs, unsavory characters. This is a travesty, it's an outrage, and we need to let the Washington State Legislature continue on its way. They're looking at dispensary regulations, they're putting it together. Let's let them continue with this, come up with some decent regulations, and leave the federal government out of this. Feds, back out of the Pacific Northwest. We don't need your help. We're working on regulating things, and we can do this. All right, real quickly here, I wanted to get to an entertainment news story. I know that Steve Blum had mentioned this before, but there is a new movie out called Your Highness, and it features Natalie Portman in a tale that's set in medieval times of two brothers who are weed smokers. We'll take a little look at the clip here.
In a faraway land, there live two brothers, one brave and bold, the other, not so much.
Woo! Courtney, will you make funny faces to entertain me? No! Never triangle face. I hate triangle face. It scares me.
Your brother is about to embark on a quest.
The evil wizard Lazar has taken my love.
You must journey with your brother to rescue his bride.
Can I sleep on it?
And it's from the director of Pineapple Express, kind of a nice new stoner comedy that's out. But I really want to focus on comments by the actress Natalie Portman as she was interviewed by the Daily Globe, I believe. No, Mail Online, that's it, from UK. And the headline here is, I smoked weed in college, but I'm too old now. She's 29 years old, and she said she smoked it back at Harvard University. And she says, quote, I love stoner comedies. I smoked weed in college, but I haven't smoked in years, she told Entertainment Weekly. I'm too old. I wish I was that cool, but I'm like an old lady now. I'm in bed by 10 p.m. I can't do that anymore, end quote. And I wanted to just address that. Natalie, you are old enough. You can go ahead and smoke pot if you like to. Nobody is going to deny that you're successful and able to continue on being a contributing member of society. I'm tired of this stereotype that says, oh, it was a youthful thing, and now that I'm older, I have to stop. One can't be a mature, responsible adult and still continue to smoke pot. Well, Natalie, are you drinking wine at these Hollywood cocktail parties after the Oscars? Are you enjoying that notion there? If you can be a responsible Hollywood actress and a contributing member of society and drinking wine or drinking drinks at a party, there's no reason why you can't be a contributing member of society and still smoke some pot now and then. And speaking of smoking some pot now and then,
we should probably get on that.
What a wonderful, magical segue that was. Calico the intern keeping us loaded here. We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
U.S. Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up U.S. Vienna, Mal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences. And these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do. It's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. Young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show in Denver, Colorado. Accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and JohnDoeRadio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe Radio. John Doe with another Groovin' Thursday tune from the brand spanking new Cypress Hill album, Rise Up, in stores this 420. This song's called Armada Latina, features Mark Anthony and Pitbull. one of the best tunes to come out of the Cypress Hill Camp ever. Enjoy it. Enjoy the John Doe Radio Podcast, and thanks to Normal Live. It's good times. I'm John Doe. Till we meet again. See ya.
Ay, Caribe, tierra de mi gente hermosa. Cielo al sol, me acompaña donde quiera. Hermanito, la lucha recién empieza. Yo nací con sangre taína, yo nací.
Came out the gutter, man, suck the land. Didn't have enough of a hand. To the motherland, summer get a summer tan. It's hotter than the summer jam. Live with the day, cause you're never getting another chance. I ain't tripping off the he say and she say, cause we say fuck off and pass me a Cuba Libre. That's what we want, don't run. I can see it, what you don't wanna see the Cohiba blunt, how we roll it up. We came to blow it up, hit the spot, throw it up, represent, throw it up. That's how we show the love. It's how we rise above all the shit that we overcome. Run is done when the boys
ay,
won.
Ay, Caribe, tierra de mi gente hermosa. Cielo al sol, me acompaña donde quiera. Hermanito, la lucha recién empieza. Yo nací con sangre taína, yo nací.
Latino hasta la muerte, chicos, stay working hard, but the noise with the gracia Dios, thank God. The Cuban from Miami could have took that coke route. Marinero, parcero, con clínica, santero, con muela, que dicen que pueden curar la abuela. Y'all like Scarface, I'm more like Sosa. Cypress Hill, pretty flaco, it's our culture. From Cali to the crib, crib, me in Miami. Thank God I'm doing music, if not I'd be telling families. I'm not an asshole, no, I'm about my cash flow. Let me take this shit and send this letter off to Castro. Dale, come mierda.
Ay, Caribe, tierra de mi gente hermosa. Cielo al sol.
Cypress Hill, Matacera. Feeling fancy in the head, bro. Why I'm better? And we just clowning on what we call some moderera. Call me Sammy, wild child from the Isles. I can go forever like an old fashioned country mile. Estilo Bihuahito, Latino is the lingo. I'm straight Guarani, my bang Pina de Rio. Lighting up dysfunction, just like Benny Moore. They go hey and play the congas, and I'm a rap over it. Yes, sir, I gotta go get me some G-Barriga and slap me some dominoes.
Ay, Caribe, tierra de mi gente hermosa. Cielo al sol, me acompaña donde quiera. Hermanito, la lucha recién empieza. Yo nací.
Joker tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
USVI Namalgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI Normal, working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
To support legalizing and taxing marijuana use.
I think it's time for debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change. See, I used to get high.
John said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give these people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
See, I used to get high. The end of the day, and I used to get high. That time's ticking away, and I used to get high. Nothing to lose, now I can't get high. Can't get high.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Weed.
That's Hoobie Valley, Hoobie Hop.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Everybody on Normal Show Live is lovely and talented, but none more so than Terry Joyce, who just come back off the road. Are you still on the road?
You know what? I am off the road right now. I'm actually back in town, and I got back to doing Hollywood Hempress Hour. We just taped an episode yesterday.
Oh, good!
And we'll be giving that to you soon for the new show. And yeah, I'm really happy to be home. There's been a lot going on here since I left.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now, where did you just come back from anyway? Where was your tour?
Well, one interesting place that I was at was Montana, and in Montana is going through its own medical marijuana journey in terms of their fight to keep their dispensaries open.
Terry, so, were you there when the raids were happening down there in Montana?
I was there like about just a few days before that it happened.
You are like the harbinger of raids, man. Everywhere you go, someone gets raided. Are you a narc?
Oh my God, you're scaring me. No, it's just kind of a coincidence because you know, when I went on stage, it was, and I talked about it, and I was able to talk about what was going on with them. they really, it was the first time as a comedian that I go, oh my God, this audience really knows what I'm talking about
now. Yeah, no kidding. Oh yeah, that's terrible. We got a podcast from Montana called the Hot Box Podcast. They're out of Kalispell, and Sandy, who's one of the co-hosts, she was at some other business that was like across the street from where they're doing the rage, and she's like, yeah, so I'm just doing my shopping. I look out the window and, oh look, there's DEA agents. So I was like, yeah, they're starting to feel what you felt down in California when you were in the raid.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, and what I'm learning too, Russ, is that there's other types of businesses being raided, like raw milk farms and stuff like that. And I'm just like, that's really bizarre. Like, it's not. I don't feel so bad because it's not just us anymore.
Yeah. So you were in Montana. You were all over the Intermountain Northwest. Any particular stories or tales to tell from your visits out there?
Well, the highlight of my entire trip was that I got to perform at the Cannabis Cafe in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was just, I was so impressed and excited about being there. What a wonderful little place to hang out and medicate and be around with some people of like mind. It was really great.
Oh, yeah. What dates were you there?
I was just, it happened to be that, the Mustard Man, Mark Kuechel.
Right.
Brought me over to see the place and meet with Madeline Martinez again.
Right.
And so when I was there, then she says, well, why don't you come by for comedy night this Saturday? So I was, able to hit like a couple of, a club before that in Salem and then come and do a set over there too as well. And I just, my experience, like, that was the one thing that I felt that I could take back home, because like we don't have anything like that here in Los Angeles, and
really?
Or I don't know anywhere in the world that there is something where there's that much freedom and everybody there is like responsible and hanging out and just I believe that it's the beginning of the future. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, that's awesome. So glad to have you there. And I'm hoping that was the time when I was in Missouri, because that's why you didn't come the six blocks away from the cafe to be in the studio with us.
It was during that time.
I know. I'm
going to come back up again there again. I want to do some more comedy up there and perhaps even like put together something where it's very cannabis related, some sort of big celebration show that we can do. I have that vision in my mind right now.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I'll be looking forward to having you here. So you're back in town. You've got a Hollywood Hemptress Hour coming up later tonight on the Normal Network, 8:00 Pacific. You're in the primetime West Coast hour there. I'm glad to have you. Who are your guests on the show?
My guest on the show is it's an adult film star, and she's a big cannabis activist. She has worked with Jeffrey Peterson and The Dope Show. You probably will see her at like all the different hemp cons and functions that are going on. And I'd like to introduce Brittany Blaze to the show.
Brittany, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody.
So you're a cannabis activist, adult film star. Your name is Brittany Blaze, obviously blazing, right? I got to ask you, there's Brittany Blaze, there's Jenna Hayes, there's Sativa Rose. Who's more smoking it? Who's smoking?
There's also Misty Stone. She's jumped on board with us.
Yeah.
And Flower Tucci, she doesn't really have a smoke name. She's also an advocate. She was out with us at HEPCON this weekend. And it's just really kind of a cool little niche of people.
Yeah, the stoner girl porn star niche, at least up to a membership of 5 at this point, right?
Yeah, I think something like that. There's a couple that backed out. Tara Lynn Fox, I think she got involved, and they were like so entertained by the fact that she was a porn star, and she wanted to hide that too much instead of kind of embracing it as, hey, I'm a porn star, and this is what I'm involved in. And, there's not that many things that we can do for PR work as a porn star that will really accept us because
yeah.
We're so out there. So, the weed community is somebody to where we're really helping people, and, I'm saying we're taking a part in something that is you know, has to do with our human rights without worrying about, you know, being judged as a porn star. So you guys have really opened your arms to us, and I really take value in that.
Well, thank you so much. And I got to address Rolla J in the chat room. He says, damn, Russ got all the porn names down. It's because I do diligent research. I'm a diligent researcher. But, you know, Terry and I have discussed this before, and we've had Jeffrey Peterson on the show as well, and discussed, you know, the parallels between, you know, the free expression rights guaranteed in the Constitution, First Amendment, that allow for pornography in this country, and the notion that even if you don't personally like something, if two or more other people are doing it with and they're cool with it, and other people are buying and watching it and they're cool with it, why does it hurt you? You know, we've had that discussion. Tell me your feelings on that issue and how the porn industry and the whole marijuana activism have any sort of things in common.
Well, I just crossed them over. I find that there's a lot of situations that happens to girls, and sex and weed go hand in hand, because I've been blowing the weed man for years, and it just comes up with, like, the greatest scenario. Like, even me and Terry were talking about, what do you do if something happens, and we ended up, like, writing something else. And I think that now that I'm on the East Coast, now that I'm on the West Coast, there is legitimate situations that happen between porn stars and their purchase of weed. Like, you know, we have medical marijuana cards and we go in dispensaries, and sometimes the guys that work there are kind of hot and we hook up. And so some of these porn stars have actually written scenes, and one dispensary has allowed me to film in it with the agreement of helping him promote the store through some other stuff. And we just kind of joined hands, and they were really cool people to work with. And we got, I did two really bomb scenes for my website out of a dispensary. And it was just a great atmosphere. And there's just certain situations that happen between the person that has the weed to sell and the person that wants to buy it, and how they work things out sometimes without even the exchange of money.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You know, so it sounds like we've got, you know, the dispensary industries, the marijuana activists who are kind of contributing and helping out. Does it flow the other way as far as, I mean, there's a lot of money in the porn industry. Do we get a lot of donations flowing from the adult film magnates out there, the tycoons making this money, the Vivids and all these guys? Do they donate to things like Prop 19 and Normal and pro-legalization campaigns, or do they have to shy away from that? Because I know Terry's told me that, you know, you can't have, like, filmed porn scenes with drugs in them and things. So how does that work out?
And, you know, I don't even want to hear that, because all day long people are smoking on the patio and they hide in the bathroom and do things that are really harmful to your body. Weed is something that is a healing element. You're a medical marijuana patient, and I think if you're a medical marijuana patient and you are on set, there's girls that are on lithium and Zoloft and all that kind of stuff when they're doing a scene, you know. So if medical marijuana is something that's prescribed to you, I think it should not be a problem in you smoking. And I think that if you're doing a drug that alters your mind and make you incapable of making a decision, I'm capable of making clear decisions when I smoke weed, and I think I make them clearer, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, the problem was, it's just legality, because there was a girl a long time ago that said that she was drunk or she was intoxicated and she didn't know she was being filmed, that they had tricked her. And so she wanted the material to be pulled off, and there was several things going on like this. So it's just a legality thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of drug activity going on all levels, and weed is the smallest part of it.
Right. And to clarify, though, this is a conversation Terry and I have had before, and correct me if I'm wrong, Terry, about the actual, the in the scene as what comes out as product, there can't be drug use with the sex scene.
That's right. I mean, they could have depicted someone smoking marijuana or drinking alcohol or doing drug use in a scene in porn. It cannot be like artistically displayed together. And there is a bit of a block in terms of like the porn industry coming out and sponsoring outright anything to do with marijuana. Although I will say this under the table, when we did the medical marijuana floor in West Hollywood, we did get some donations from the adult entertainment industry, but they did prefer to have their name put on the as being credited for it.
Yeah. Okay. I could understand that. Brittany, another question here for you. You talk about marijuana use on the set, medical marijuana use. Dry mouth, is that a problem? I think it would be an occupational hazard.
You know, I have a little trick for that. And girls that do BJs, they have these, like, little tricks. And, like, you have to drink a real sugary soda, like grape soda or Coca-Cola, like one of the real ones, not diet.
Yeah.
And, like, when you go to actually do the blowjob itself, there's a mechanism in the back of your throat. And if you, you know, if you hit it, your mouth will just keep watering by itself. So we may do it in the beginning, but there's a quick fix for that.
Well, I asked, didn't I? You lost me right after the grape soda part, but thank you. Oh, Terry, I always like to give you a chance to get in here and ask a question of the guest that you so graciously bring on the show. So do you have a question for Brittany?
Well, you know, Brittany, when did you get started in the adult entertainment industry, and why did you decide to do it?
Well, the adult entertainment industry as far as video or period? Like, 'cause I've been in the adult industry for 20 years, but doing video for 3. Can you hear me? Hello?
Having some sort of strange Skype.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
Hello?
Do we still have you, Terry?
Hello?
Now, I think we lost Terry. I think we're having some Skype problems, so we'll just wind up the call. I want to thank Terry Joyce and Brittany Blaze for joining us on the show. Thanks, ladies. I don't know if you can still hear me, but again, sorry about that. Some sort of Skype difficulty. When we come back, a little bit of radical ranting. We're going to talk about the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, which has slapped a little bit of lipstick on that pig to try to change their image. It's Normal Show Live. We're back right after this.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join NORML today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Hear me, say.
Free the marijuana.
Marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, and you may have heard the report, I think we even reported it on ourselves, of a new study out of the University of Western Ontario coming out from the Partnership from a Drug-Free America. And actually, that's not their name anymore. You remember the Partnership for a Drug-Free America with their This Is Your Brain on Drugs, the fried egg commercials. You remember those from the 1980s and all the many commercials that they did since then. The cartoon dogs that are disappointed in the pot smokers, or the aliens that come and steal their girlfriends. You know those guys. Partnership for a Drug-Free America. Well, they've changed their name, you see. They are no longer the Partnership
for a drug-free America. They have come up with a new name. They were originally founded, of course, by a bunch of advertising executives, right? Mad Men, ad execs. And they were originally funded by the pharmaceutical and the alcohol and tobacco industry. Now, they deny that at this point. In fact, if we go to their frequently asked questions, their frequently asked question, aren't you funded by the alcohol and tobacco companies? The partnership at drugfree.org accepts no funding or income services from the alcohol or tobacco manufacturers any longer, because just go to this document that's found at fair.org. They were originally funded by American brands, that's Jim Beam Whiskey, Philip Morris, that's Marlboro and Virginia Slim Cigarettes and Miller Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, Michelob, Busch Beer, R.J. Reynolds, Camels, Salem's, Winston Cigarettes, and pharmaceutical firms Bristol-Myers Squibb, Merck & Company, and Procter & Gamble. Now, they did quit their alcohol and tobacco habit. They did that back in 1997, according to Village Voice. But they continue to take in money from the pharmaceutical companies, which the partnership readily admits. In their frequently asked questions, they say, do you receive support from pharmaceutical companies? They answer, the partnership at drugfree.org has been concerned for several years by the high levels of teen abuse of prescription drugs and has worked with numerous partners and funders to educate parents about what they can do to prevent to get help for their children's abuse of medicine that was not prescribed for them. Those funders have included the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services as well as a number of pharmaceutical companies who are concerned about the misuse and abuse of their otherwise beneficial products. These companies have provided the partnership at drugfree.org with unrestricted support for research on prescription drug abuse, for web-based educational modules, and for community education programs delivered at the grassroots level. Ah, so what you're telling me is you got a bunch of unrestricted money that wouldn't just go to preventing the misuse and abuse of otherwise beneficial drugs, but could also be used to fund web-based educational modules like that Stoners in the Mist that we showed you. Folks, if you're new to the show and you've never seen Stoners in the Mist, go to Google, look up Stoners in the Mist to see what some of this pharmaceutical money was funding. It's basically saying that cannabis consumers like you and I are animals that need to be tracked and tagged and bagged. So check that out, Stoners in the Mist. The partnership continues, you know, what is their position on legalization of marijuana? They say the partnership at drugfree.org on legalization, the position is based on the perspective of parents, our core constituency. Many parents understand that marijuana can be harmful, especially for kids whose brains are still developing. Now, I agree with that. Your developing brain, you know, young kids should not be using cannabis except for in a well-supervised medical treatment. However, let's go on. From a parent's viewpoint, it is already hard enough to keep away kids from alcohol and tobacco, both legal and regulated substances. Okay, but teen smoking rates have declined to their lowest recorded levels, and teen drinking rates have declined over the past 30 years, and kids consistently say that marijuana is easy to get. The partnership continues. Adding marijuana to the menu of legally available and potentially harmful substances will make it more likely that kids will use it. Well, that's kind of an unproven assumption, isn't it? Decriminalization in Portugal has led to less harms from drugs for adults and children. Teen use declined in all the medical marijuana states that passed medical marijuana there in the 90s and the 2000s, all the ones that we have data on so far. The Netherlands still has about half the teen and adult use of all drugs. And nobody's talking about adding marijuana to the menu. We're talking about kicking criminals out of the kitchen. Marijuana is already on the menu. It's already there. Kids are already using it. The question is, who's regulating that market? Who's checking their IDs? The partnership continues. This not only adds to the challenges parents face, but directly affects the percentage of kids who will have problems because of the increased ease of access to marijuana, including drugged driving and dependence. Marijuana is the number one drug abused among teens admitted for treatment today. Well, yeah, because when a teen is caught with marijuana, they're sentenced to drug treatment. Duh. And as far as the increased ease of access to marijuana, really? Increased ease of access when they have to go show ID for it in an adults-only store? Really? That's going to be easier for them? Now, I know kids get access to tobacco and get access to alcohol these days, even though those are legal and regulated and carded and you know, kept behind counters and such. But when someone does that, when someone violates that law as the adult, as the storekeeper, we can yank their license. We can put the shopkeeper in jail. We can arrest the adult that hands that off to the kid. We prosecute that. We still have that sort of prosecution. And I remember when I was a kid, it was a pain in the ass to try to get a hold of alcohol, trying to find the guy who knew the guy, and just, it's not worth it. So let's put it behind the counter. Let's check their IDs. To continue from the partnership, they say, and marijuana, like other intoxicants, damages relationships, affects the quality of work, academic or other, and limits potential. Limits potential. Affects quality of work. Gee, how many more world records would Michael Phelps have smoked if he didn't smoke pot? How many more World Series and Cy Young Awards would Tim Lincecum win if he'd never toked? How much richer would Sir Richard Branson be if he'd never smoked pot? How much better would Carl Sagan's academic work been if he'd not smoked cannabis? And damages relationships? Newsflash, smoking in a joint circle leads to relationships. Oh my God. Partnership for the drug free. Partnershipfordrugfree.org. From this perspective, we do not support legalized marijuana, but hey, they're perfectly fine with adults drinking. That's where they got their start. That's where they got their money. Oh my God. And so I wanted to address their study that they just are trumpeting now, right? And basically this study, the real gist of the study, when you download the whole thing and read it, is about youth binge drinking and their shifting perceptions that getting drunk is cool. And gee, where'd they get that idea? The Hangover. Where could they have gotten that idea? Old school. All right, whatever, but cool, whatever. All right. But here's how the Partnership for Drug Companies Free from Natural Competition in America, this is how they framed it. This is their headline. National study confirms teen drug use trending in wrong direction. Marijuana, ecstasy use up since 2008. Parents feel ill-equipped to respond. A study that shows drinking is increasing. That kids are more likely to have to perceive five or more drinks at a sitting as not being harmful. Kids are more likely to perceive these days that being drunk is cool. But you want to focus on the marijuana and the ecstasy use going up, man. Here's the money quote. Here's the money quote to scare the mom and dad. According to the three-year trend confirmed in this year's 2010 PATS data, there was a significant 67% increase in the number of teens who reported using ecstasy in the past year, from 6% in 2008 to 10% in 2010. Similarly, past year marijuana use among teens increased by a disturbing 22%, from 32% in 2008 to 39% in 2010. All right, folks, you know me. When somebody starts throwing data at me, laying that on the table, you know I'm going to dig into it. So I took a look at this 2010 PATS data. It's actually PAT stands for the 2010 Partnership Attitude Tracking Study. It's the partnership at drugfree.org along with MetLife doing this survey. This survey is different than the government's National Survey on Drug Use and Health. We already have that out of the University of Michigan. And that's the one that we usually look to when we want to get a baseline on, you know, youth use and adult use and so on. According to that, according to the national survey, only 16.5% of kids aged 12 to 17 had ever used cannabis, and only 12.6% had used in the past year. Now, those numbers rose to 17% and 13.6% respectively by 2009. So that's a rise of 1%, right? They went from 12.6 to 13.6, not 32% to 39%, okay? 12 to 17-year-olds went from 12.6% of them using to 13.6% of them using. And that's not a desirable statistic. That's still one out of eight teenagers using pot, you know, young kids, 12 to 17 here. But it's only a rise of 7.9%, not a rise of a disturbing 22%. So how is the data different? Why do we have the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, you know, 12 to 17-year-olds showing a different result than what we get from this PATS data that they're trumpeting? Well, here's the difference. The PATS survey is surveying 8th, 10th, and 12th graders. And when you survey 12th graders, now you're including 18-year-olds, and in some cases, 19-year-olds. And once you get into that age demographic of 18 and older, we got, you know, 18 to 25, more than half of those people have used cannabis, you know, 52.6%, 31% in the past year, 18% in the past month. So, if you're gonna start including the older seniors, the 18-year-olds, the 19-year-olds, yeah, your numbers are gonna be a little bit higher. Now maybe that's, you know, cause for worry that, you know, their 18-year-old adult child who's entrusted to vote for our leaders, smoke cigarettes, buy, watch, and act in pornography, purchase long guns, and enter into legally binding contracts, including one with the U.S. government to defend the Constitution and the armed forces. Yeah, maybe it's a problem that they might be smoking pot. But the report tries to make this correlation, tries to say that the marijuana use by the kids is so far, you know, rising so much here, and they equate that to, you know, medical marijuana laws passing, and, you know, that we've lost all the gains that we've made since 1998. Well, you know what? If we're telling the kids the truth about marijuana, and all the only way that you could stop them from using it was lying to them, then yeah, after they find out that you've been lying to them, maybe they feel a little more like they're going to try something. Maybe if we try telling them the truth, like we told the truth with tobacco and brought the tobacco use rates down to the lowest rates they've ever been, maybe that's the way to do it instead of lying to kids. That we've told kids the truth that marijuana is not very addictive, that it's non-toxic, that it is a medicine, and that's led to more of them using it. What, do you want us to lie? Is that the solution? You want us to deny cancer patients a medication that can help them? That's the cost of keeping teenagers off drugs, is letting adults suffer and go to prison? Makes no sense to me. Let's tell the truth to the kids. And in my opinion, if more kids are smoking pot and less of them are drinking and using prescription drugs, that might not be such a bad trade-off either. All right, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for Coleco the Intern and Cannabis Carry. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews that you can use. And we'll take your calls on Toker Talk Radio next. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.